So, here in the studio this morning, I'm joined by a very nice guy. We've just been chatting off air and we've got a lot in common, so it's going to be a very easy interview. I'm joined by Gavin Coyle, and Gavin is the creator, founder and chief officer of a company called safetyfreelancer.com. Gavin, good morning and you're very welcome to the studio.
Morning, Shane. Thanks very much for having me.
Not at all. My absolute pleasure. How are things?
Very good, yeah.
Very good. You're in good form, chasing those January blues away.
Ah, yeah, it's Happy Friday. I'm just delighted to get to the end of the week.
Absolutely, you know? Yes. So, Gavin, you're here to tell us your story, but also going to give us a little bit of passion behind what you do. So tell us your story.
Oh, well, I suppose from the start, I was born in Newcastle. My mother and father, my mother would be from Clondalkin, my father's from Arbor Hill. My father had a shop in Ballyfermot and had a bit of a rough spell and lost a bit of money. And so through the jigs and the reels, we ended up in Sligo. And there was like six of us. So five boys and one girl. And we kind of doubled the population in that village.
Nothing wrong with Sligo, eh?
No. But it was unique. If you go down to the west of Ireland now, you know, you'll find a lot of Dublin people that have, you know, moved away from hectic life or whatever else, and they see it now as a more of a work-life balance or a life-life balance.
That's all the rage now, yeah, work-life balance.
Whereas we were kind of the first in there, so
setting a trend.
We got slaughtered first. But no, we loved it, and we fit in with the community. They were great people, and they really welcomed us in, you know. And but I just couldn't settle in school. So I got a job in the local meat factory cutting cows, and I said, no, I'm not going back to school. So my mother and father said, look, well, if you have a full time job, you know, you can work away. So left school and went and started cutting cows for a living. And it was interesting, but I suppose I didn't really have an alternative as far as I was concerned. I'm making money, I'm my own person, I'm independent. I'm not going back to school because of X, Y, and Z, and had a great life. And this guy came up to me one day and he tapped me on the shoulder and he said, you're absolutely crazy. Like, what are you doing to yourself? Because I was covered in whatever. And he said, I've been watching you for the last 6 or 7 months. He says, you know, you need to come work for me. He says, you don't belong in the meat factory. Like, you know, everyone around me was like 10, 15, 20 years older than me. You know, that was their life. So I went working with this guy, and I earned really good money. Like, I couldn't believe the money that I was earning at the time.
What were you doing?
He was doing engineering, and he was the engineer looking after the plants, the meat plant. But I didn't realise that he ran a number of different plants, looked after them all, and he was a highly successful guy. And for whatever reason, I must have stood out as this young little boy taking on a beast with a knife. So he really looked after me. But my parents were kind of always coming back to me going, look, you need to go back to school, get an education, at least get the leaving cert, you know. So my brother had just finished school, so I said, look, to the guy, the boss, I said, would you mind taking on my brother? I'm going to go back to school. So my brother came in, and he actually ended up being a refrigeration engineer because of that.
Okay.
And I went back to school and failed my leaving cert.
Oh, no.
No, but I actually had great fun, because I learned more in that year in terms of, you know, the system, and I learned more from dealing with people, and just, you know, there was no ties. Yeah, education was a priority. It wasn't that it wasn't a priority, but for me, the atmosphere and the culture within the school was brilliant. You'd probably never get it again because it was such a small school in a rural area. But so then I had to decide what to do. So I went into the construction sector as a labourer, and Hewlett Packard was being built in Leixlip at the time. And Americans were starting to come into Ireland in a big way, and health and safety was a big thing. And in Ireland, there was no such thing as a health and safety officer. There was no health and safety as such. It was like, yeah, we don't want to kill people, but we still want to get the job done.
Okay.
So I say, hey, Gavin, you just come out of school. Like, you must be educated. You take the role of safety. So they pushed me into the safety role. And I absolutely loved it.
This is while you were working in the construction company?
While I was in the construction
company. How long ago was this?
Oh, it was like, I was only like 18, you know, so I'm 42 now. I'm not going to go do the maths.
You never do it. 20,
no, 22, don't, please don't.
24 years ago. Which isn't a whole lot, you know, it's not a long time ago.
No, but yeah. It just goes to show you, at the time, you know, things have moved on a lot in terms of who we are as, you know, in life, you know.
Growing.
Yeah, and growing. Okay. So, yeah.
So you're the safety officer?
Got into the safety, yeah. And then I got the shocked news that my younger brother, who had been just doing his leaving cert, had gone out to Strand Hill in Sligo with a number of his other friends. I think there was about 9 of them all together. And they were in waist high in the Atlantic Ocean, just at the beach in Strand Hill. And a freak wave came in, and an unknown current swept them all out to sea. And out of everybody, 3 of them didn't come back. And one of them was the brother, yeah.
That must have been tragic.
Very tragic, very... you couldn't put it into words. It's only now when I have, like, I'm married to Aisling, I have 2 kids, and you kind of look back as a father, as a parent, you know, as bad and all as it is as a brother or a sister, but as a parent... they never really got over that, to be honest with you. My mother passed away recently, or a couple of years ago, and a little over a year. And even to that day, like, she still never got over that. You know, you'll never, for the mother especially, you know.
Losing your son to a tragic.
And to go from one funeral to another funeral and then to another funeral, you know, it was just horrific that you were kind of sharing your bereavement with the friends, parents and family. But in fairness, the community down there, like, again, they just rallied around the whole, all the families, and tried to soften the blow for as long as they could, you know. You'll never recover.
It does help, but it doesn't take away that pain and the emptiness and the loss.
It doesn't, no. And I recall a story. You only hear the sort of antidotes afterwards, but, like, there was a story where, well, a surfer actually saved one of the guys. So he was brought back to life on the beach. So there was technically 4 people had died, but this 4th guy had been saved. And the surfer guy had said that, you know, he had seen the guy, the ball that they were playing with, the one guy had the ball, and he was floating. So he was kind of holding onto the ball. But by the time he went out to the furthest guy and retrieved him, the ball was just still bobbling on the sea. He was gone, like, that guy was gone as well.
God.
You know? So, yeah, you know, from a health and safety perspective, what massive learnings out of it, massive appreciation for the RNLI, volunteers just doing their thing, you know.
And it's all voluntary. We forget about these people, don't we?
Unbelievable.
Until something comes along that gives us that little gentle reminder that there's something there. You kind of say, oh, God, them people out there, and they're there all year round.
Yeah, yeah. And I was like a local house put up the RNLI for meals and for somewhere to lie down, because, you know, my brother was the last found. I think it was 3 days before we found him. So, like, I was having breakfast and dinner with these guys, and, like, they were like, you know, we're going to get him. It's kind of like you get to the point where you kind of say, okay, well, he's actually probably dead at this stage, but I just want him back.
Just want the body.
Yeah, bring him back. So, like, now you've got a different complex going on in your head that you're kind of like, wow, I've lost
him.
Now I have to get over the loss, and I was actually give him back. You know what I mean? And you see plenty of cases, and I hear plenty of cases where,
and it brings back that memory and that kind of emptiness that you've experienced at that time.
There's a bit of dignity as well about it, that you want to give him. You know, you want to give him a dignity funeral, and you know, that became the more of the focus. And of course, those guys gave that back to me. So
you just get on with it.
Yeah.
So take us back to your Hewlett Packard days. So you were appointed the safety officer with no safety experience as such. Okay.
Yeah, that's right. In a construction company. And in fairness, excuse me, that construction company done really well. And they're a very successful Irish company. And I stayed with them pretty much for 10 years. And I went through UCD and DCU. I got a master's in safety.
Wow.
But within the first year, I was having problems on a particular project in terms of, you know, a lot of open holes, a lot of, you know, damp coming through the building. It was a mess, but it was a massive project. Like, it was well well over 30 million at the time, punts, and safety wasn't a priority. Let's just say that.
Okay.
So I was kind of seen as a sort of a disruptor because I was a small contractor, you know,
coming in
saying, look, I'm not happy with this and I'm not happy with that. And I got a lot of slack. I got a lot of, you know.
But let's face it, look what it's gotten you today.
Yeah, but the problem with this one was I got a severe bang on the door and it was a man down. And one of the guys brought me to a scene where one of our guys had fallen headfirst down in a hole and was fighting for his life. And it was just carnage. And
okay.
I got rushed when myself went into the ambulance. He was just, I'm not going to get into the graphic detail of mm-hmm. how bad it was, but it was definitely not a nice scene in the ambulance. And when we got to the hospital then, rushed him into the A&E, and the surgeons came out to me and said, look, you know, he says, is he usually this aggressive? Like, because he was just, but he was fighting for his life. I didn't really realise it at the time.
Okay.
But he passed away the following day as well. So I kind of got hit with a double whammy within the space of, you know, a year and
sure,
a half.
Wow.
And then I was kind of like,
is this really what I want to do?
I really want to do this stuff. Okay. Like, do I really want to get involved?
You didn't give up. What made you hold on?
Well, you know, I had a good connection with that individual, that young guy. You know, I like to think that I connect with people. And that I think if you're doing health and safety, you must be a people person first. Like, forget about the college and... Yeah, that's good. You will need that. And the law will say you need that. But
what kind of qualities do you think you need for it?
You have to have empathy. If you don't have empathy, you know, it's like anything else. Even if a business owner must have empathy, you know. But from a safety person, you must have empathy.
You'd be surprised, though. Yeah. Oh, I do. Yeah. I'm extremely empathetic, you know.
Yeah.
But, and it's something that I would always recognise in others. But I think it's a very, very, very important value to have throughout life.
Yeah. I agree 100%, yeah.
Like personally and in the workplace, but more so in doing a role like what you're doing.
Yeah.
I would imagine it's,
yeah, well,
it's
like
vital.
But if you ask a firefighter, you know, why does he do that every day or why does she do that every day, you know, they can't tell you really, but they just know that they get an enjoyment out of it. Like, it's not as if it's work.
You've got to be happy in your workplace.
Yeah, you've got to be happy. You can't, all right, I fell into it and I kind of made a career out of it and I've done successful out of it. But
it was the path that you were guided towards.
Look, if it's for you, it'll find you.
So after 10 years, you left Hewlett-Packard.
Left the construction
with your college
site in
degree
Hewlett-Packard,
and your cert and your cap and gown and all that.
I stayed with that company for 10 years, yeah.
Okay, what happened next?
Decided to go out, went and set up a business with another guy and stuck at that for about 6 years. And then myself and Aisling said, you know what, let's just, you know, do this together and go on a different path. And we just wanted to supply really good, talented people, safety people, to certain sectors.
Okay.
And do a bit of small bit
of
consultancy.
So was this recently or how
long
ago?
That was in 2011.
Okay. So almost 10 years ago.
Yeah.
Okay.
Jeez.
Wow. I know, it's crazy. Time is just flying by.
Yeah, wow. Coil Group was formed in 2011. And that was set up with a view to providing contract health and safety talent to the power stations, oil and gas, utility sectors. And within a couple of years, ESB actually had two fatalities in the space of 2 years. They lost a young apprentice, was killed.
And was that due to
It was
what?
Health and safety.
Okay.
It was electric shock. And then within that 2 year period, a senior tradesman also was killed in work with an electric shock. So, massive shock to their company,
huge
emotional time for them. And they went out to tender and they said, look, you know, we need to bring in some people that, you know, can provide us with, you know, top quality safety talent. And we won that tender.
So,
and
when you say we?
Coil Group, sorry.
Okay.
And so we have up to 20 contract safety professionals working within ESB crews all around the country. You know, the guy in the yellow van, the girl in the yellow van, they've all got a health and safety support, and that person most likely is a Coil Group.
So tell me exactly what Coil Group do.
So Coil Group supply contract safety people to the power station, oil and gas and utility sectors. We don't really deal with construction sector.
Okay.
As per se. So what you see, the building sites and the, you know, the hospital job or whatever.
Okay.
We might get asked, but the guys that we have, we kind of just narrowed and niched our business.
Okay.
So we have more of a focus.
So you supply those people.
Yeah, and they're contract
people.
So
how do you find those people?
So, because I've been in the industry so long, I was able to sort of network into a whole talent that was in front of me.
Okay.
And then what happens is, because I'd like to think of myself as approachable, you know, air guys would come back to me and say, Gavin, this girl's brilliant. You know, you need to take this girl on. Like, you know, she's looking for a job. She's in between jobs. And so you start building organically your own network of talent. And, you know, it doesn't happen overnight. As you know yourself, it's a process.
Okay, brilliant. So here you are, 24 years on, in the health and safety sector, and you are making a safety success as such.
As such, yeah. Well, yeah, I'd like to think that we will be in the top three in the country, at least, in terms of supplying. If you're looking for contract safety people, we will be that company. I was always harping back to the whole underdog thing. Like, I'm a big underdog fan.
Okay.
You know, I like to help people wherever I can. And it was annoying me because we had kind of went into the premium market.
Okay.
And don't get me wrong, we love it, and it's we get value for it, and so does the customer. But you're completely isolating out a large portion of people that need access to safety. And because of the way safety is gone, like, if you talk to the universities at the moment, they'll tell you that they're only at 60% capacity for health and safety courses. So people aren't going doing health and safety courses.
But it's such a basic, like, requirement that is needed throughout, like, the whole of your life, whether you're driving a car, whether you're in the kitchen, whether you're, like, in work. Like, it's like, this is required by everybody.
Yeah.
Of every age.
Yeah.
But yet again, there's so little, I suppose, light shone on it, because I would have never thought of it as this depth. I know that you have to do, like, a safety pass for a site, which is like a one day.
Yeah.
And then you have to do, like, a forklift safety thing, whatever. That's all I would know. But to this extent, I just thought, like, you know, companies had a section like HR, like finance, like kind of accounts, and they had a small section that looked after safety, and it was just kind of touched on.
Yeah, yeah.
But, like, when in fact it's a lot more in depth.
It is. Like, in 2019, 46 people died in workplace fatalities. So, you know.
And let's face it,
that's not good, like.
But,
you know.
Like, they may have been prevented if better safety had been put in place.
Yeah. Absolutely, but the statistics chain are saying that less than 10 employee companies are having most of these fatalities, and so I'm not getting to those people because I'm in a different, I'm in a different business model. So
what are you saying? The little small independent retailers?
Yeah, like the shop,
the local coffee shop
on the corner, the restaurant, the hotel. You know, the construction company. There's 46,000 construction companies registered in Ireland. But there's only 1,500, I think, in the CIF, the Construction Industry Federation. So, look, that's not worse.
If you had a magic wand in your hand, what would you do in relation to safety and these companies?
These companies that need safety?
Yeah.
Well, so that's why we set up safetyfreelancer.com. Oh, what a plug, Shane. How did you get that one in? You kind of led me right down the path on that one.
I'm not good at what I do. I'm absolutely fantastic. I'm just kidding. Go ahead. So, safetyfreelancer.com.
So, look at Uber at the moment, for example. You know, the biggest taxi company in the world without owning any taxis. Yeah?
Mm-hmm.
So, an independent person can pick up the app, can download the app for Uber and can go out and sort of, within reason, set up a taxi company and sort of walk through. And so, the traffic is being driven to the taxi driver so they can create their own independent business. It's all regarding the gig economy and the gig economy space, and it's not really well known in Europe or in Ireland what is the gig economy, but let me put it in context. In America, 35% of the workforce actually fit into the freelancer model or gig economy model. So 35% of the working population in America actually freelance. They're not actually employee-employer situations.
That's a lot.
It's phenomenal. So in Europe, it's 20%. Mm-hmm. So in all of my businesses, what we had done was we had used companies like, or platforms, sorry, such as freelancer.com, guru.com, fiverr.com, Upwork. You know, Upwork is a billion dollar platform.
I've never heard of any of these.
Unbelievable. So okay. I need a poster developed for my local charity. So you can go onto one of these platforms, you can post your job, and all these freelancers around the world that are relevant to what you're looking for will bid for your project. And then you look at the profile and you say, geez, I like the work that they've done. Maybe I want to talk to them a bit more on the messaging app. You know, how do you do this? How do you do that? And then, wow, your budget is like $100. Like, if I get somebody in Dublin to do this, it's going to cost me $1,000.
Really?
Yeah, so like...
You see, I'm very practical. Just for argument's sake, I got new posters done up yesterday.
Yeah.
For the company where I work, and I rang someone who I knew in the industry. I said, look, I need two posters, I'll email you over the PDF.
Yeah.
And I'm going into work after here, and I guarantee you when I get there the posters will be there and ready to go.
Yeah.
So there's a difference.
Oh, I get
know.
You. So you, yeah. So but you know,
for a bigger project like Invitations or something.
Well,
no, printing.
No. Shane, like what you did in that case, if I was you, is I would look at the time zone. And I'd say, well, like, I want that designed by the time I wake up tomorrow morning at 7 o'clock or 6 o'clock. And you get up and you look at your phone and say, oh, my God, that girl in the Philippines or in whatever has just done me an amazing poster. And I didn't have to talk to her through the night or whatever else. It's just there ready to go. And then you can go into, I'm not going to mention names, whatever printing place that you use and get that printed off. I've been doing this for years. And
So what's the name of the company? Upper?
Upwork.
Yeah.
Upwork. So they will be the leader in terms of this space.
So you're following in their business model.
We're following that model, yeah. So,
for
example, the marketing person we would have used, Shane, for years, she actually works for Walt Disney and she freelances on the side. So she kind of makes a few pounds for herself for holidays or for whatever else. And she uses freelancing platforms. So we actually connected with her and we're like, yeah, we've got the marketing manager for Walt Disney working for us, la la la. So it's not just, you know, it's not just low skilled, it's semi skilled, it's high skilled.
Okay.
Yeah. So, and it's, you know, but it was predominantly built around the digital marketing, sales generation, that type of function. Whereas I said, well, hold on a minute, why don't we look at that model for health and safety? Because the 45,000 or 44,000 construction companies, as an example, can't get access to safety people. Number one, they don't know where they are. Number two, the rates have gone through the roof. Like,
okay.
It's going to cost you a minimum of €300 a day just to bring someone out to your site.
Okay.
And at the top level, that's probably 600, 700 a day. So, like, not everybody can achieve that, you know.
Okay. So what is the main objective of safetyfreelancer.com?
To give accessibility to the wider workforce, to say you have access to an expert in your field that can do health and safety and that can get your paperwork done for you. So anything that can be done online, like a policy, a procedure, a risk assessment, you know, a safe system of work. You know, we've got bloggers, we've got guys that wrote books on health and safety, you know, so it's after growing arms and legs. We had 5,000 safety people around the world sign up on our soft launch. So we had to sort of condense and shut the platform down because we need to make sure that the quality of the people on the platform will deliver.
Okay.
And so we have a rating system for that now.
Okay, brilliant. Could you give us an example of like an ideal customer at the moment using that platform?
Oh, 100%. There's a couple. So the first one, I've just set up a business. My accountant asked me, do I have a health and safety statement? I need one to have one as part of the law. Where do I go and find one? So next thing is kind of Google, la la la. No, forget it. Go on to Safety Freelancer. Say, I need a safety statement. I need somebody based in Ireland that knows safety statements. You must have X period, X amount of experience and X amount of years. So we give you a criteria that you can fill out on as part of the posting the project. And within 2 minutes, you'll have that posted.
Okay.
You'll put a budget to it, Shane. You might say, look, I can only pay $50. You can only pay $100. It's all in dollars. I can only pay whatever amount of dollars. And it's up to the freelancer then to go back and say, look, Gavin, it's kind of like, you know, if you want a safety statement, it's actually going to cost you this. It's because this is the reason why.
Okay.
And they'll explain that to you. So a good freelancer will say, you know, it's going to cost, you can't get something like this for $50 because it's not going to be what you want.
Okay.
You know, and
by law, is it a requirement?
It is a requirement to have a safety statement, but there is criteria there in smaller companies, smaller, you know, less than five employees. But, you know, the international standard is that you have a written risk assessment process for your business, no matter who you are, whether you're a bakery, a coffee shop, okay, you know, right up to the multinationals. You need to have a risk program.
But also, like on the other side of things, if you are responsible for people and you are employing people, well, then it's almost ignorant if you don't do it.
Oh, it's reckless. You know, it's reckless. And I don't want to be sound like fearful about it, else. But like, you know, we do it for the right reasons. We set up a business for the right reasons. You know, we employ people for the right reasons. And we want to look after them for the right reasons as well.
But sometimes it can all go pear-shaped.
And it can. And, you know, you can't legislate for everything. Let's be honest about it. But you can try and say that, look, I'm a prudent employer. I actually care about people and I want them to come to work, and I want them to be safe, and I want them to go home safe, you know. And how do you demonstrate that?
It's important.
Is it just word of mouth? It can't be just word of mouth. And with the claim culture that's going on as well in Ireland, and the industry, the insurance industry, just absolutely hammering everybody, as we all know, with creches and stuff like that, you know, this is making business owners' life a lot more difficult. So we're business to business model, and we're there to try and reach out to people to say, look, you know, I can get you somebody that, you know, has a specific knowledge, say, for example, in a creche, but they're sitting in Canada or America, but they've done all this before and they can sort of, you know.
Simple, straightforward.
Yeah, and you can just pick a budget that's in your mind that you can work with within your own framework as a company, so that it doesn't damage your business. Because, you know, taking on a health and safety person now out of college, they're going to get anywhere between 25 and 35,000 euro. Starting off out of college.
So they'd be happy with the extra few bob to do up a little bit of work on the side, if the case may be?
Well, they would. And you wouldn't believe the amount of people that are in full-time employment that have signed up to the platform looking for extra income because of the world we live in at the moment.
The rate of pay, absolutely.
You wouldn't believe the amount of mothers and fathers, stay-at-homes, that are actually on the platform, that have signed up onto the platform because they can't go back to work.
And you know what, as I've said as well, you know, safety is very important. So if anything, you're doing yourself a favour because you're covering yourself and you're putting prevention in place.
Yeah, 100%. It's a
no-brainer. Gavin, to anybody, just before we finish up, to anybody listening that may have a desire to follow a path of becoming a safety officer,
yeah,
or studying the whole safety module, what would you say to them?
I would definitely encourage anyone that's looking, you know, in that area to get in touch with the colleges. Like UCD, for example. I don't want to plug any particular college.
No, you're just giving
but they would be in the Dublin area. UCD would be the leader in terms of David O'Dwyer is out there. You know, he's happy to listen to anybody. He'll go through the program, and it's a massive career. We have a massive shortage in Ireland. I'm making a call out, basically, we need more health and safety people. There's not enough health and safety people in Ireland to sustain the level of growth, hence safety freelancer.
Okay.
But environmental is also a big thing, as we all know, with climate change going on at the moment. And we've seen a massive rise in the need for environmental as well. So you can actually get a course that is environmental and safety mixed together.
Okay. If there's anybody listening and they have a small business and they're looking to get a safety statement, or they're looking to get a little bit of safety security put in place, what would you say to those people?
Well, what I would say is go on to www.safetyfreelancer.com. Sign up. It's free to sign up for business owners. It's free to sign up for freelancers. And just post a project and, you know, start engaging with the freelancers as a guards. And they'll tell you, you know, what you need, because there's plenty of Irish people on that platform that can fulfill the need. And, you know, there's a support mechanism on the platform as well that, you know, you can contact us through the platform and say, look, I'm actually looking for a bit more guidance. Can you give us a bit more support? We're happy to call out the businesses and get them up and running. We don't charge for that. We'd rather just get the word out and get out to people and sort of help them, you know, comply with this.
But I think it's also very important to identify by your kindness and your empathy and your helping, look where it's gotten you today. So it's not anything lost. In fact, it's almost everything gained. Gavin, before we go, anyone that wants to get in touch with you, how can they reach out to you?
So gavin@safetyfreelancer.com,
okay,
is the best one. And I'll take any direct messages and I'll speak to whoever needs to be spoken to.
And you're also
to.
On Facebook as safetyfreelancer.
Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, Safety Freelance. safetyfreelancer.com, obviously. So all the channels are all there. You Google us, you'll come across us.
Brilliant. That's Gavin from safetyfreelancer.com. Gavin, on behalf of myself, Shane and Near FM, thank you very much. It's been a pleasure. It's been extremely informative. And thank you very much. And the most important thing is, it's all in the name of safety.